Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Yeah, for you are my everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, somewhere you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. Pass.
Yes, you are our everything, our hope, life, joy, strength, peace, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, our scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister, Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Good morning to my Running for Christ ministry family. I am Deaconess Loretta Welch. And we're going to start off with a proclamation. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus, the King, pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule. Amen. Our scripture for today is coming from Romans 3, 19 through 26, titled Righteousness Through Faith. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that very mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the words of the law. Rather, the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who participates in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and preach word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Loretta. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
You do the same, Kathy. It's always my pleasure.
Thank you. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. Appreciate you, Loretta. Amen. Tell Oliver I said, what's up? Deacon Oliver Welch, anyway. Amen. Today is Youth Sunday. It's the fourth Sunday. It came kind of funny. Usually it's followed by the fourth Saturday, but it's followed by the third Saturday. So it's fourth Sunday, and it's Youth Sunday. So the music is going to reflect the same. So everybody, get up. Get ready to pray.
From the rising of the sun until it goes away, again we love to say we love you. You brought us safe this far. We really gotta say thank you for bringing us all through. I may not have everything I wanna have, I wanna be.
Amen. And give him some praise. Clap, clap, clap them hands. Amen. Because the Lord is in this place. Amen. I love youth Saturdays, youth Sundays, because I get to play different kinds of music. I don't have to play that. Amen. Music just make you cry all the time. Amen. But praise the Lord. Young folks need victory too, y'all. But young folks, I want you to know, and young folks ain't listening. Parents, if you don't have your young folks listening, then when you get a chance, tell your young folks, you already have the victory. You're operating from a position of victory. All you have to do is win, like Janine folks like to say, win, 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 no matter what. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Go and walk in your victory.
Now we're here to encourage you to walk into your new season, a season of freedom and a season of victory. Here it is. By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory. Adrian, won't you help me sing it? By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory.
We're gonna sing that again.
By the hand now, come on, lift it up. By the hand, I've been set free. Oh, now I'm walking in victory. Oh, that I'm walking in victory. That I'm walking in victory. Walking in victory. Get my joy back. Oh, I'm walking in victory. That I'm walking in victory.
Thank you.
for some who don't understand our purpose and may not understand our praise. We as a family in Jesus' name would like to tell you the reason why we sing. Family. Because I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing
because I'm free.
His eyes on
me. His eyes on them. That's the reason why I sing.
I want to know if you can help me say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Come on, say glory. Thank you, Jesus. You're the reason. Can we say it again?
Someone asked.
Oh, glory. Why do we sing?
Why do we sing?
When we lift our hands.
When we lift our hands to Jesus.
Oh, what do we really mean?
What do we really mean?
Someone may be wondering. When we sing our song,
when we sing our song,
at times we may
be crying,
and nothing's even wrong. This is the reason why I sing because. In here. We've all said amen.
We've all said amen.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And the song will never end.
And the song will never end.
Listen. And if somebody asks you.
And if somebody asks you.
Was it just a show?
Was it just a show?
Lift your hands and be a witness.
Lift your hands and be a witness.
And tell the whole world no.
And tell the whole
Listen.
World
When we cross that river,
and when we cross that river,
to study war no more,
to study war no more,
we will sing,
our song to Jesus,
the one whom we adore,
the one whom we adore.
Come on, family, let's take it home. I sing because. My melody at midnight, Jesus. You're my song and my storm, Jesus. You're the hymn in my heart, Jesus.
You're the reason why. Oh, I love you. I love your name, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. For the rest of my life, Jesus, you'll be the reason why I sing.
Amen. You know, I'll never forget the time I got a chance to sing with the youth choir when we had the youth praise team anyway, and they were singing, and I got to be Kirk. I actually got to Kirk, like Kirk. Amen. But I thank God for that. Jesus, you know, I tell him all the time, he make people do strange things. When you hear people scream, when you hear people preach funny, when you hear people sing and start jumping around, I mean, just the love, just being in relationship with him is just awesome all by itself. He often asks me, what do I want and why do I never ask him for anything? I've always only ever wanted him. He is what I did not have. Stuff and things, you know, that's everywhere, right? Places to go, stuff to do, that's every day, all day. But Jesus ain't every day, all day. He is something altogether different. Amen. And I've never wanted anything, but for those who want something, and I mean, I want stuff. Jesus give me stuff all the time. That's the problem. He give it to me before I even ask him for it. And then so what I got to pray for. But anyway, amen. Pastor Mike, Deacon Eric Reed, here you go. Amen. Deacon Eric Reed, you today.
I got it.
life brand new. He changed all my wrongs and gave me a brand new start. That's why I depend on you, 'cause I know you can see me through. And you never left me lonely. I know. Oh. I gotta do what I could, even though I ain't what I should. Never think of what I can do. What he's done for me, I'll do it for you.
Those blessings and songs and faith and testimony, our hearts truly have been moved and encouraged. You always take us there, and we thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who could be all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Yo, I go by the name of Mario Whining, and this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Yeah, I bring to you my auntie, CeCe Winans. Yo, CeCe, drop that purse.
I know that you think you can pray after that mistake, but I know it's the only way you can make it better. And I know situations get too much for you to take, and you feel like you won't break, and it makes you stay. I can't take it. Ooh, I think it better.
Ooh,
I'm so frustrated. But it's gonna be okay, 'cause
you
got someone in your corner.
Ooh,
gonna be there for you. Just fall.
Oh, most holy and mighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you, first of all, thanking you for another day. We thank you for providing the world with a Savior who was willing to die on the cross for our sins and for us, Father. Your Father, some of your children today, they need a physical healing right now. Father, let them know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who can heal all pain, all sickness, and all disease. You can heal all infirmities. All we have to do is do what Jeremiah 33:3 says. It says, call on me in the time of need, and I will answer and tell you great and mighty things that haven't been done yet. Father, you said in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you will heal them, you will forgive their sins and heal their land. Father, all that can only be done through you, because you are the God who knows all, who sees all, and who hears all. Father, in Isaiah 26:3, you said, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. You said in Colossians 3:20-21, set your mind on these things, not on things of earth, but on things above. Father, your word says in John 16:34 that whoever is thirsty, whoever's looking for living water, let them come to you and drink. Father, remind your people that they can come to you if they need a spiritual refreshment. Let them know that you will provide their, you will meet every need. You always have met every need, even when we don't know, even when we didn't know how our needs were going to be met, Father. Father, we pray for those who have lost loved ones. Psalm 30:5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Father, let those that have lost loved ones in 2022 and in the beginning of 2023, let them know that they are not alone. You know what it feels like to lose loved ones, because you've been through it, Father. Father, we ask that you fill the pastor up with a word for us to hear, obey, and spiritually digest. Give him the word in the way that you want him to bring the word that you have given him to be, and let it be a blessing to everybody that will be under the sound of his voice. Fill him up. Remove any distractions that come his way, out of his way, so that you will be glorified through his mouth and through your word by him. Because, Father, we can't hear your word unless we let you have your way in us today. We cannot hear what you have to say to us unless we let you have your own way and do your own thing, Father. Father, we pray for the presider, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. Give her the wisdom to do the work that you have called her to do in the way that you've called her to do what you've called her to do. Father, let her ministry be a blessing to everyone around the world. Father, you deserve the glory, you deserve the praise, and you deserve the honor, and it is in your precious, mighty, and matchless, holy name I pray this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day, okay?
I will.
All right, thank you. All right. Well, excellent services. So far, we're having a great time this morning with more to come. You know, please continue to keep our youth tuned into the services and lift it up in prayer. And just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own unique way with introductions. Amen.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle. I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door. Pain's creeping through the back. Fears crawling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters. But tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face. I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face. They don't understand what I'm going through. The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go, and I don't know what else to do.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. Hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Hold on and I'll find you.
They say fear haunts and pain hates. I say pain strengthens and fear drives fate. And I don't know all of the outcomes. Don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settled for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world tryna play with my soul. I'm just tryna find where to go. I'm tryna remember the way. I'm tryna get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to
know. No, don't let the fear make you feel like you can't fight this on your own. You know I'll be there for you no matter where you go. You'll never be alone. No, just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
Gosh, that song felt like a hug. God is everywhere. He's here in this service. He's there with you no matter where you are. It's like, okay, in addition to like a hug, you know how good it feels sometimes when, you know, you're going through or you're troubled about something and somebody reaches out and holds your hand? That's God all the time. Terrence brought up the living water, and I mean, He'll quench your thirst. God is just so good. We could do that all morning long. Thank you so much, Pastor O, for those songs of praise and worship. I know we're not in the church, where the physical building where we would normally be able to, you know, sing those songs. And, of course, me trying not to be too close to the microphone so I don't mess everyone up. But, yes, we definitely were touched. And hopefully, God is receiving our praise and worship this morning. So let us continue on in our service. This is the point in time where Pastor O is going to bring the message. And so I'd just like to say on behalf of the entire Runner for Christ ministry family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And even to those of you who will listen to this in the future, we welcome you as well. We are not in a physical building, but guess what? We're having church right now up in here, wherever you are. Pastor's going to conclude his sermon series on God's plan for life and family. This is part four, and the focus will be on Christian children. He's asked me to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction from the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Children and parents is the one topic that we can all relate to. If you are here listening, you are someone's child, and at least at one point in time, you had a parent. That first relationship you had in life can influence just about everything else that takes place in your life. What an awesome honor and responsibility God has placed in the hands of parents and then their children when the role somewhat reversed. I am witnessing firsthand adult children grappling with what honoring their mother means as she lies ill, unable to do much for herself. But we are not lost as we try to figure things out. The world may declare that children do not come with instructions, but as we just read in the scripture, indeed both parents and children have been given instructions from the Lord. If, as Pastor O said last Sunday about Ephesians 5:21, we obey out of reverence for Christ, it can make this whole journey easier. Over the past few weeks, Pastor O has been seeking out and showing us these treasure maps. You have heard people say, there's an app for that. Well, whether you're single, married, or have children, there's a map for that. Pastor O has been taking us on expeditions, showing us which way to go so you can lay claim to priceless relationships on earth as in heaven. Pastor O, the Word Explorer, is ready to tell us how to receive these early inheritances from God through Christ Jesus. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Okay. Now I'm Dora the Explorer. Amen. At least you got the Word Explorer. God bless. Thank you, June. I appreciate it. Tell Ray I said, hey.
God bless.
Amen. Lord have mercy. Amen. See, the Lord make me smile and laugh like that because he know how scared I am. But, you know, my wife prayed for me, and every Sunday before I preach, she grabbed me and prayed for me because she knows me, and she knows this stuff scared me to death. So, you know, her prayers work because they seem to calm me down enough to be able to do this without, you know, too much anxiety. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for this another opportunity to go into your word, as June just said, so we can get the plan. You have plans for our life. Amen. We don't have to wonder which way the map wants us to go. The map is clear. We are here, and our destination is there, and you've written about how to get from here to there, so we thank you for your word, and we pray now that this word works for us, that we put it into practice, and we thank you because we know it'll work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today, and bless my heart so it receives your word today. I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I'm here today to be transformed, to change the way I think to the way you think, so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is for us raising kids. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. God has it. He has a roadmap for us to go down so we can come on. All of us going to be, we're going to be Dora the Explorers this morning. Amen. We're going to explore this map, and we're going to know where we are, and we're going to know where we're going, and we're going to follow God's map on how to get there. Amen. Praise. Amen. Well, you know, we've been in this series now, you know, and if you want more, I think I did it on YouTube, so you can go to pastorgmo.com and click on my YouTube stuff and look at God's plan for life and family. I think it's 6 or 7 installments over here. Here is just 4, okay? But anyway, this was designed for in church. The YouTube was designed for YouTube, amen? So there you go. So that explains the difference. Also on that page, to go along with the classes that we're having on Mondays where we're learning how to, that we have everything we need, how to deal. We have everything we need so we can deal with the fact that we can be patient as we wait on Jesus to come back. I'm really excited about that class. But if you want to add on to that information, also on my YouTube page, there's The Last Days. That's the way you say it, make people get scared. Amen. So go over there and get that and have some fun with it and grow in the knowledge. We are commanded to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we need them both. We need the knowledge. We need the grace. The grace is going to make the knowledge work. They need to be together. Amen. So we started this journey out down this road. We started following the map from Genesis. And we followed that map in the first installment of this series, all the way to Revelation, all the way to heaven. Okay, God actually pulled it off. He actually got us from earth to heaven. Okay, but then we went back because we knew where he was taking us. And the goal is, like Jesus said in John 14:2, right? In my Father's house is a whole lot of room, and I'm going there to make room for you. And when that room is ready, I'm coming back to get you. And Jesus has been coming back to get people ever since he said that. Jesus also told us over in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 that he was coming back to get us, to take us there. So we know it's going to happen because God said it. But how? How is he going to do what he said in Genesis 1:26, where he said, let us, the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Elohim, if you will, in the act of creation. He said, let us make man in our image. That means holiness, totally apart from anything evil or wrong, unique in that sense. Okay, so God made us to be holy like him. And he said, let us make them righteous or in our likeness. So that means I think like, act like, talk like, walk like, do like, work like, everything like God. Amen. So he created us to be holy like him and to live like him in all those different areas of our lives, right? Amen. And then he said, let them rule. And in short, everything he had created. Let them rule over that. Under us, under our authority, under our kingdom rule, let them rule on earth, under us, so that what's in heaven can be done on earth just like it is in heaven. That was the setup, right? Amen. And we know that God said, let us make man. Let them be what? Fruitful, multiply, increase in number, and subdue the earth. And simply put, married folks who decide to have children, amen, are fruitful. Well, we know single folks are fruitful. Jesus was single, very fruitful. Paul was single, very fruitful. Okay? So don't go away saying only married people can be fruitful. No, only married people can multiply, increase their family in number. Single people can't do that. But that's a whole other sermon, ain't it? Anyway, because there's a whole lot of single people with kids. But anyway, amen, we don't know how they ended up single with kids, but there's single people with kids, y'all. I know y'all probably ain't been outside a lot, but there's a lot of single people got kids. So this is how God's going to do it. He's going to use single people who are under him, like Adam and Eve. They weren't born married. They were under God, right? And God used them to pull off his will, right? So God's going to use single people. Then he married Adam and Eve, and God's going to use them to pull off his will, right? So now he got single people, he got married people, and now he got married people with kids. This is how God's going to pull off his will. And what is his will? Remember, his overarching will is to get us from earth to heaven. And can I just throw this out here right now? I'm tired of holding it. I'm going to just throw it out there. Boom, there it is. Marriages and boyfriends and girlfriends stuff don't go to heaven. Amen. I played a song last week by a Christian rapper named Bizzle. Bizzle say in his song, there's no marriage in heaven. They say there's no marriage in heaven, and the day is Jesus said it, right? When he was into it in Matthew chapter 9 with the Pharisees and the Phakasees and all them people. Amen. Jesus said, teaching the Sadducees, they were sad, you see, because they didn't understand anything but the first five books of Moses and really didn't even understand that. And so they had no idea, since they didn't believe in the afterlife and since they didn't believe in the devil and spiritual things, virgin births and all that stuff, they didn't believe in any of that. So they were sad. So they came to Jesus one day and they said about marriage, they said, this man, they was trying to trick Jesus, get him caught up, make him look stupid in front of people, right? And they said, this man over here married seven, this woman over here was married to seven brothers. They all died, long story short. So when that woman get to heaven, who going to be her husband? That's when we learn from Jesus himself, there's no marriage in heaven. Okay? And Bizzle say in his song, Jesus told them, just to finish it out, he said, you are in error, and you do not know the scriptures. Oh, Jesus could be straightforward, couldn't he? He said, you're in error. You are in error, and you do not understand the scriptures. In heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So then, God created marriage, okay, for the purpose of filling up the kingdom, subduing the earth. See, I got kids. Yes, I do. But they don't all live in my house. They got their own house, their own apartment. They saved. So guess what? Wherever they live, because they saved, that area was subdued by God. And the Lord wants to keep doing that until we go to heaven. So he's going to use single people. He's going to use married people. And today, we're going to talk about married people with kids. Amen. Now, single people with kids right now saying, they don't even address us. We don't exist. Oh, yes, you do. Because the same instructions God gave to married people with kids is the same instructions he has for single people with kids. I'm pretty sure you done already worked that thing out with the Lord by saying, Lord, I confess my sin. I ain't married and I got kids. I ain't married with children. I'm unmarried with children. Now, Jesus' mama one day was unmarried with children. Amen. There was a lady who had been married 7 years. Her husband died. She stayed up in the church as a single woman until she was 84, got to hold the baby Jesus in her arms. Okay? Now, there's a lot of folks with kids. You don't know how they ended up with those kids. I know a lady who got pregnant, and before the child was even born, her husband died. And she's a single parent. Not because she had kids out of wedlock, but I don't even know what that is. But anyway, no, her husband died. And like Jesus' mama, Mary, her husband at some point died because when Jesus is 30, Joseph ain't nowhere around. When Jesus begins his public, even when the wise men came to see Jesus, Joseph wasn't there. Amen. So single people, tune in with kids because the Lord wants to talk to you. Now, I don't want to scare nobody. But if God has blessed you to have some children, guess what? He blessed you to have those children. He blessed you to raise those children. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your uncles and aunties and friends, but you. If God wanted them to raise the children, he would have gave them to them. But God knows that you are uniquely situated. Let me read you something so I can help you understand how about God's foreknowledge. Open up your biblical, as some people call it a Bible, and go over to Acts chapter 17. I want you to hear something. It might help you in a whole lot of ways to understand this little life we're in, right? Okay, Paul is addressing a group of people called the Areopagus. They're a council, a Greek council, right? All they do is sit around like in the barbershop all day trying to know something new, right? Amen. Beauty shop, barbershop, same thing. They just trying to, even at the gas station, if you're hanging out, somebody trying to figure something out. Amen. And that's what these folks did. All they did was sit around and try to figure out what's new. Let's talk about it. Amen. So Paul noticed that they were a very religious people. That was his nice way of saying, y'all, straight up cult out pagans, okay? But he said, I can see that you're very religious. He said that because they had an altar to every god they knew. If somebody came into their realm with a god, they erected an altar to it. They wanted all the gods to be happy. They were polytheists, believers in many gods, right? So Paul took this as an opportunity to speak to them about the one true and living God. And he says to them, as I was walking around in your city, I'm going to start at verse 22. So Paul, standing for the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. See how he was being nice? He knew he really, they're straight up cult pagans. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines. You can walk into people's house and tell they're religious. They got a big old Bible holding the coffee table down. They got pictures of Jesus, bless this mess on the wall. They're very religious. But do they really know the Lord? These folks were super religious, but didn't know God. Amen? So Paul says, this God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. Now listen to this, y'all. Listen to this. He's the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole world. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. And y'all know I studied Christian history, right, and had to study world history alongside of it. And I saw nations come. I saw nations go. I saw nations come. I saw nations go. God was deciding how long they lasted and when they would end. Amen. And he determined how much land they would have. He determined Russia would be this big. He determined Michigan would be this big. He determined the United States would be this big. He determined Mexico would be this big. God determined all of that, not man. He determined their boundaries. Now, here's what you want to hear. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Wow. Amen. What is that saying? The parents you have, the house you grew up in, the street you grew up on, the school you went to, the family you have, the friends you have, the acquaintance that you meet here and there. God did all of that. So that perhaps, in other words, he arranged it so that one day at a certain point in your life, you would reach out for him and find him and then learn. Let me tell you a story. I didn't tell it before. I'm going to tell it again because it's going to help me preach this. I live right down from the school where I went to find the Lord. My mother knew him, my father knew him, my sisters and brothers knew him. I didn't. Okay? I don't know what happened. I didn't. They would pray to him for food. They would pray. I see my mother on the side of the bed talking to him. I see my father talking to him. My father, God this, God that, God everything. God Almighty, he all knew all that. I ain't know none of that. I used to peek trying to see Jesus while my daddy praying for 2 hours. Amen. You get caught at my father praying for dinner. You might as well come back tomorrow. But anyway, amen. I didn't know him. So I went down the street from where I live right now. I didn't live here then. I lived on another street. And I sat behind the old gym. If anybody on here know the old gym in Ecorse, I was sitting back there on this bench. And I was frustrated. I looked up to heaven. And I asked God to show himself to me. Now, when God didn't reveal himself to me, I got up and got angry and cussed him out and called him all kinds of names And then I became an atheist. I ain't believe in no God. I believe people lived and died, and that was it. There is no God. I don't know how we got here, but we're here, and I don't know where we go when we leave, but we leave it. That's all I knew. I didn't know where I came from, didn't know what I was doing here, did not know where I was going when I leave, and those three things could ruin my day at any moment. All one of them had to do was come up, and the smile right off my face, the fun is over. Why? Because a greater concern has arisen. What happens when you die? I could be on the playground playing, and then a funeral procession go by. My whole day changed. Why? Because they're going somewhere, and I don't know where, and I'm going too, because everybody go. Nobody gets away. Amen? Then one day in 1975, toward the fall, late summer, early fall, Jesus shows up, reveals himself to me. He establishes a relationship with. He becomes my Savior and my Lord. And then I suddenly discovered, well, you've been here all the time, because he was constantly telling me about stuff I did before I got saved. And I said, so you were there? You saw that? In my mind, God was not around you if you didn't know him. But he was always right there. And that's what Paul wanted these folks to know. And that's what God wants you to know today, that he has always been right there. And God, remember what we just read, purposed everything in your life so that you might reach out for him. And it worked. You're saved. And you can think back to the time when you gave your life to Christ. You're saved. And then think about everything before you got saved. God did all of that. So that day when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that was the combination of work that he had done before you were born. Like he said about Jeremiah, before your mother and father formed you in the womb, I knew you. So that means God gave him to that mother and father, so that mother and father could aid in God's purpose for making him sanctified, set apart to him, ordaining him a job to do, as we all know now, became prophet. But this was all decided before he was born. So guess what? Married parents, single parents, God intended for you to have them children. He intends for you to impart to them what he wants imparted to them so they can become who he called them to be. So if God has blessed you to have children, if God has blessed you to do anything with children, oh, Lord have mercy, what a responsibility he has laid on you. God believes you're the perfect person to help shape and mold them into who he wants them to be. What will God do to a parent who will not teach their kids the Bible? What will God, let me put it like this, what will he do for a parent who will not raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord? They won't learn the Bible, so they can't teach it to their kids. What will God do for a parent like that? Listen to what the word says for children. Children, he speaks first to the children. Obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So children, here's a word from the Lord for you. Obey your parents, for this is the right thing to do. And why? Because you belong to the Lord. You cannot be disrespecting your parents. You cannot be, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 4 talks about, disobedient to parents. You know, if we lived in the Old Testament days, the Old Testament dispensation of time, under the Old Covenant, do you know what would have happened to children who were disobedient to their parents? They were put to death. Death penalty. Children who did not do what their parents told them to do and were insolent and disobedient, the Lord said, put them to death. Now, how many are glad that we're not, now, parents, don't be looking at your kids. Not, wait a minute. We're under the age. This is a dispensation or age of grace. Okay? This is the new covenant. Amen? So don't be looking at your kids in the microwave talking about I'm finna fix this problem. No, you're not. But children, obey your parents. See, parents, this is why it's important for you to live in front of your kids like the Lord wants you to live. Because believe it or not, your life is teaching them. You know what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say? They say, make it your ambition, make it your business, do your best to lead a quiet life. Do your kids know you lead a quiet life? They say, mind your own business, or do your kids hear you on the phone trashing other people all day and all night? It says, work with your own hands. Do your kids see you as a lazy and shiftless bum who will not work? Do you know the Lord said, if you won't work, you won't don't eat? What kind of picture are you painting for your kids to see you in? What kind of image are you in front of them? Do your kids learn how to cuss from you? Kids learn how to hate on the pastor because they hear you hating on the pastor? Have you taught your kids how to lie when the phone rings and you tell them to tell them I'm not here? And then one day they lie to you and you have a fit because they lie to you. You taught them how to lie. So if your children are not obeying you, do they see you as an obedient parent? Are you exampling in front of them, modeling in front of them, amen, what they are? Foolishness, the Bible tells us, is bound up in the heart of a child. How do you get rid of that foolishness? By teaching them the word of God. There is a passage of scripture in the Psalms that asks the question, how can a young man straighten out his ways? By the word of God. But what happens when the parent don't know the word? What happens when your kid come to you talking about something in their personal life, their family life, their church life, their civic life, but you don't know the word of God to apply it for them? They come to you for that. Just like when Jesus was here, he would talk the talk. He would walk the walk, but his disciples would get with him at night and say, Lord, explain to us the stuff you was talking the talking and walking the walking with earlier today. And you know what Jesus would do? He would never chastise them about asking. He would just start explaining. Can you? So, you know, we say children obey your parents. Maybe they're obedient like their parents are to God. How do you expect your kids to want, you know, it used to make me so angry. I was a Sunday school teacher from 1977 to 2002 and somewhat beyond that, running for Christ, but God sent me help and we got other teachers, right? One of the things that used to get me was how much the kids did not know. It was like they was being raised by a parent who wasn't even saved. They didn't know any scripture, anything. They could tell you anything secular. I used to do this little test with kids. I would listen to some secular rap that you could actually say in church, and then I would say it to them and tell them, say the rest of it, and they would. Then I would quote a scripture, and I would say, now say the rest of it, and they couldn't. That told me what was happening in that house. That told me there's a mother, a father, or both who are not teaching their children how to be obedient. Why? Because their children see disobedience in them. Parents dropping their kids off at church and then leave and then come back later. What is that teaching the child? You know what the child would say? I can't wait till I get 18. I say, why you want to be 18 so bad? Then I don't have to go to church no more like my mom and daddy. In other words, they was talking about Sunday school. They didn't want to do that. Why? Because their mom and daddy wasn't doing it. So when we say, children, obey your parents, are the parents obeying the Lord? Whether they're single parents or married parents, God is expecting you to model in front of them him, not you. They have enough of foolishness is what? Bound up in the heart of the child. You don't have to teach them how to be bad. They're already bad. They come pre-bad, pre-crazy. What God wants you to do is model something different in front of them. Jesus said, the works I do with my hands, my Father. The words that come out of my mouth, my Father. Wherever my Father is on any subject, that's where I am. I always do those things that please my Father. Is that the life you're exampling in front of your kids? See, that's called a sacrificial life. So children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. It's the right thing to do. Some versions say in the Lord. That means obey your parents as they obey the word of God. Your parents can't ask you to do wrong. And children have the right to be disobedient to a parent who asks them to do wrong. They're not being hard-hearted or hard-headed. They recognize that's wrong, but you don't. So parents, if you want your children to obey you, check your obedience to the Lord. They might be modeling you, and that's why they won't obey you. Honor your father and mother, okay? This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. Change that word long with good. You will have a good life on earth because you can do everything right like Jesus and still die at 33. You can be like Martin Luther King, do everything right and die at 33. Are you telling me he was disobedient? He didn't honor his mother and father? So what it's saying here, children, is when you honor your mother and father, and look, your mother don't have to be honorable, your father don't have to be honorable, but you have to honor them. You might not have the best mother. You might not have the best father. But you need to honor them. It's a shame that children have to teach their parents how to parent, but do it. Because that commandment comes with a promise. You want the promise. That's what you want, the promise. Even though you have bad parents, a mother or a father or both, you want the promise. How do you get the promise? Honor your mother and father. You might have had a deadbeat dad who showed up when you was 19. Honor your mother and father. You might have a deadbeat dad or mom that ain't showed up yet. Honor your mother and father. See, because you want what God's going to give you. He'll take care of your mother and father who is not honoring him, and that's why you're probably not honoring them. But God says, look, they may not, don't let, look, my wife might not honor God. I am. I might not honor God. She is. Honor your mother and father no matter what they're like. Now, again, it is sin for you to have a mother and father to tell you to do something wrong and you do it. I saw a lady on Oprah one day when Oprah had her TV show, and they were talking about kids having sex at home. And this parent said that she feels so much better knowing that her daughter, who is unmarried, is having sex at home. Is that where we are now? We feel safe because our kids are having sex in our house? Amen? Is that what we're doing? Is that how we fix things? We make sure our kids are having safe sex? Is that what we call safe sex now? Now, single parents, how many boyfriends, girlfriends have your kids seen you with? What kind of relationship? Think right now, parent. Okay, married parent, unmarried parent. Think right now. What do your kids see when they see you? What do your kids hear when they hear you? Are they seeing something that makes them want to honor you or dishonor you? Amen. Parents, you want your children to get that commandment. That commandment comes with the promise. That means it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to live 100 years, but it means the years that you do live will be good years, will be blessed years. Even if life is hard, God will bless you to make it easy. You could be in the Philippian jail kind of house, okay, but God will cause you to sing praises at midnight in that situation. So children, if you want, amen, things to go well for you, obey your parents, honor your parents, get the promise. If God makes a promise, God going to keep his promise if you do your part. And your part is to honor your mother, honor your father. You let God judge them for the kind of mother, the kind of father they are. Your job as a child is to obey them because you belong to the Lord and it's the right thing to do, and it's to honor your mother and father. God knows what kind of situation he put you in. Trust me, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you ought to get happy in the situation you're in, even though it ain't a happy situation. Why? Because God going to bring you out. God going to use that. Look, you can be in a worse situation than Joseph was. Joseph, you read about him in the book of Genesis, start at chapter 37 and read to the end. Joseph was 17 years old. His brothers sold him into slavery after they had thrown him in a pit to his cousins, the Ishmaelites, who sold him to a man named Potiphar, had a good job, was moving up, then his wife tried to rape him and accused him of trying to rape her. Now he's in prison for 13 years. And he stays in prison for 11 years? And then a cupbearer and a baker get thrown in prison with him right out of Pharaoh's court. Okay? And Joseph, they had these crazy dreams. Joseph answered their dreams because the Lord blessed them too. Okay? Joseph never gave up on the Lord, even though it seemed like the Lord had given up on him. And he was in a horrible situation. He's just a teenager. Now he's in prison for 13 years. Okay? And so he answers their dreams, and they get out. Okay, but one, he probably wanted to stay there because he probably lived longer because he got his head cut off. But the other one got his job back. Well, 2 years later, it's the 13th year now, Pharaoh have another dream, and he losing it. He can't figure it out, and he's threatening to kill everybody. And suddenly, the guy who got out remembered Joseph. And so Joseph is hauled up in front of Pharaoh now. End of the story, Joseph becomes prime minister of Egypt. Joseph says out of his own mouth, everything that happened to me was purposed to be evil and not good for me. But God, amen. So children, no matter what kind of parents you got, but God. God put you in that situation, that horrible house you in. Why? Because he's going to bring you out like he did Joseph, and he's going to make you prime minister or something. He's using all of that. Oh, listen, kids. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And if you're a Christian, you're called according to his purpose. So I don't care what you're going through. God going to make it work for you. Yes, the devil and whoever he's using is intending it for evil and to hurt you. But God going to make it work for you. God going to use it to propel you to where he's taking you. He got a purpose for you, kids. He don't have just a purpose for single people, just a purpose for married people. He got a purpose for children. And you want to get into that. Amen. One of our members suffered a horrific accident the other day and was brave enough to own it and put it on Facebook so other people could see. And if you looked at the car, she should not be alive. But all she had is some bumps and bruises and some small cuts, you know, a little spiritual, emotional stuff going on, but that's okay. She was brave enough to own it and to recognize that it was God who brought her through it. Amen. I was so pleased to see her recognition of this and then realize that God, amen, but God. Horrible accident, but God. Amen. Now, we're going to switch the subject from the children to the parents, and then we're going to wrap. Fathers, wow. Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Emotionally scar your children by the way you treat them. Don't put stuff in your kids that's going to make them hate life, hate God, hate church, hate people by the way you treat them. Don't make your kids go to school and act out because they can't act out at home because you act up at home. Kids act in the street the way, look, you know, and you got parents now who come to the teacher trying to tell them something about their kids, and they come to the school, and you immediately understand why the kid's out of control, because the parent's out of control. They're worse than the kids. And you immediately understand why the kids. So he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Be careful how you treat them. Let me tell you this. You want to make God mad? You hear what Jesus said? Anybody who hurts one of these little ones, okay, it'd be better for you to take a 2-ton millstone, put it around your neck, and go swimming in the Pacific Ocean. That'd be a better day for you than to hurt one of these little ones. What are you doing to these little ones that God has put in your care? Okay, now, truth be told, all of us are his little ones. He's always going to be bigger than us. We're always going to be his children. But in this regard, what are you doing to them little kids God has put in your presence? What are you teaching them? Again, what would the Lord do to a father who angers his children? Notice this, he ain't talking about the mother, he's talking about the father. So the father is to take the lead. How many Bible classes take place in your house in a week? If you got kids in your house, how many times y'all sit down and have Bible class a week? Has God ever seen you teach your kids anything from the Bible? Y'all are sitting down and you systematically teaching your kids. You went to church, you heard the sermon. You went to church school. You heard the lesson. How often do you talk about that lesson, okay, after you leave church? Fathers, you are supposed to take the lead in teaching the children. Fathers, the Lord is calling for wholehearted commitment. Listen to this. These are the words or the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey his decrees and commands, you'll enjoy a long life. Listen closely, or a good life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God and ancestors promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Again, I ask you, how many times have your children been in a Bible class in your house? He says, talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. How many parents have do that? Or is church school, and you don't even do that. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know what he's talking about? Talking about the word of God. He's challenging fathers to take the lead. One second. He's challenging fathers to take the lead in the home and set up a Bible class. Be systematic about studying the word of God. See to it that those children the Lord has put in your possession, that he has given you, put in your house, put around you. Teach them the word of God. Father, take the lead and do your job. and let your wife come alongside you like she did Adam, okay? And amen. When Joseph left here, who do you think took over the duty of teaching them kids? Mary. Okay? So the wife and the husband, or the wife or the husband, the single person, they all work together to get those kids taught. Teach them what? How to reverence God. Teach them what? How to live for God. So parents, family members, friends, if the Lord has given you an opportunity to help him prepare these kids for adult life under God in this world, take that opportunity as a blessing from the Lord. Take it seriously and do the work that the Lord has called us to do. I ain't through, but I'm through. Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks today, and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you that you gave us a map to follow. You gave us a plan to enact. You gave us a plan on how to get from earth to heaven. You gave us your plan as to how you're going to get us from earth to heaven. So we're asking right now, Father, that you bless the single people, because the single people one day will become married people should they decide to marry. And then, Father, bless those married people, because you might bless them to have children. And you intend for them to raise those children to reverence you and to live according to your word. Lord, bless the single parents for however they ended up being a single parent. If we have to 1 John 1:9 some stuff, we do that. And now bless that parent, whether it's a single man, a single woman, raising children. Bless them, Father, to impart to these children everything you know they're going to need so they can serve you. Like before they even left heaven, you already had it planned out. You already ordained them. You already sanctified them. Let all of us, Father, play whatever part you want us to play in helping these children to come to know you and then to live according to your word. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for giving us your plan, for showing us your way. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we ask it that you bless us to do what you called us to do. Amen. Amen. Crystal, I can't even see where you are. I need you to press 1 so I can find you. There's too many numbers to scroll through. Okay, there we go. There we are. Thank you.
Technology is tripping today. I put my earbuds in, and all of a sudden I started hearing all of her class from Wednesday. And I'm like, Jesus, why is Pastor preaching? He can't hear the class on Wednesday, but both classes is playing. So I'm over here freaking out. I call Sheila. I know she'd be doing stuff. So I emailed her, and I'm like, it's 2 classes. Pastor can't hear it. I don't know what's going on. It's because I put my wireless earbuds in, and the Blog Talk player was open from Wednesday when I was listening to class, so it was like doing 2 things at one time. I'm over here going crazy, like, Pastor can't hear the whole other class. I hear Reese and being Eric. I hear you. I'm like, what is going on? Okay, but we, and then it disconnected the call, which is probably why when I called back in, it dropped me down to the bottom of the list. But nevertheless, I am here. Amen. Good Lord have mercy.
Ooh,
all right. Well, go ahead and take your break, Pastor. Yep, absolutely. I got it. Okay, good morning, y'all. We together now. Amen. Happy Sunday to everybody. There's a lot that I could say about what we have heard over the last couple of weeks in this sermon series, but I mean, the word of God speaks for itself. It's its own commentary. Pastor, as always, has done an amazing job of telling every one of us, regardless of what category we're in, what it is that we have to do based on what the word of God says. So we all have a responsibility, no matter what your category is, married, single, having a 1 John 1:9, a whole bunch of stuff. It doesn't matter. There is still a purpose for your life. You don't have to give up. This is Youth Sunday. And how perfect was it that the word for today was about the kids, okay? So the kids have a responsibility, we have a responsibility, and we all have a job to do. Amen. So thank you, Pastor, for that awesome sermon series that you brought to us. It basically takes us from birth to eternity. Amen. And so we all have things that we have to do. And no matter what you've done in the past that may have been bad, 1 John 1:9, Jesus died for all of that. You don't have to live condemned because of it. Amen. Just make sure that you get up, dust yourself off, and keep on moving. Amen. All right. So by way of a quick announcement, or a couple of quick announcements, I should say, don't forget our BTR Saturday Church School is at 9 a.m. every Saturday. Our BTR Sunday Worship Service is every Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. Excuse me. And our Sunday worship on Blog Talk Radio is here every Sunday at 10 a.m. Amen. Do not forget Mondays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, our new class on the last days and how to be prepared via the book of 2 Peter has started. Amen. We had our first class last Monday. It's taught by Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, and the book that you need for the class is entitled 2 Peter, amen, number 2, Peter, by Charlie Avila, and it can be purchased on Amazon. I do believe, Pastor, I feel like I heard you say the other day that people can go to your website, PastorGMO.com, to get the book if they need to do that, but you can verify that when I'm done with announcements. If not, you guys can just go on Amazon and get it. I think the book's like $9. So the assignment for this week is to read 2 Peter in the Bible, chapters 1 through 3. And for those who do have the book, read the first chapter of the book and answer the questions for chapter 1 that are on page 175. No, the first chapter is not 174 pages, but all of the chapters are on the front of the book. All of the questions are in the back. So page 175 is where you would answer the questions for chapter 1. Amen? Don't forget, every Tuesday, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Don't forget, every Wednesday, 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class. The questions are available by email, and they're usually sent out by pastor before the class if you are on his email list. If not, you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the Bible classes tab, and the questions are also there for you to be able to participate. Don't forget, every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn on Blog Talk with her show, Bring Back the Family. Don't forget, on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class. So for more information to participate, please contact the president of Bondage Breaker Ministries and the teacher of the women's Bible class, Pastor Janice Tate. Go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and click on Bondage Breaker Ministries, and it will give you the information that you need to reach out to Pastor Janice to be able to participate in the women's Bible class. Amen? If you want to pay your tithes, give any offerings, rfcm.org is where to go. Click on the tithes and offerings tab. And so we just say the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and everyone else that we are enabled to help throughout the entire year because of your consistent and your generous giving. Amen. Don't forget, again, to go to our church website, rfcm.org, and just look around. Jobs, resources, all types of stuff on there. Bless yourself, bless others. If you don't need any info on there, don't assume that others don't. Send the website to people. If someone asks you a question about something and you don't, you know, just send them the church website. Just get the information out there and allow people to look for themselves. You never know. Somebody else that you give it to might not necessarily need anything, but they may know people who do. Amen. And so we want to make sure that those resources are being used. Amen. We always want to say what's up to all of our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries. We always want to shout them out. They are so important to us, and we absolutely love them. Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persian. When we're in the building, we usually always have at least one of them holding it down. But because we're on Blog Talk, we probably got at least one of them listening. It's a little bit easier for them. Amen. So we love them. And we just want to make sure that everybody's, you know, however you reach out to people, whatever you do, text, call, email, drive by, send a letter, whatever you do, just reach out to one another. Make sure everybody's straight. Amen. If you need information, phone numbers, addresses, or whatever, just make sure to get in contact with Sheila, and she will get you what you need. Amen. Please continue to pray for all of our Run for Christ Ministry members. Pray for everyone everywhere all the time. We already know that. That's standard. Okay. So all of our Run for Christ Ministry members who are facing upcoming tests or surgeries, procedures, pray for the construction or reconstruction of our church building. of course, make sure to pray for all of the communities that we live in, okay? We don't all live in the same city. We have people who are listening who are not even in our country, amen? So we all need to pray for those who have the rule over us, from the people who, you know, patrol our streets and give parking tickets to people who make the rules, amen? We just need to pray for everyone who has the rule over us. Continue to pray for all those who are sick and shut in. Please don't forget to pray for Nico Gaston, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, again, all of our mothers, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray, excuse me, for Keela Freeman, as well as Ed Johnson. Amen. Again, our president, our vice president, leaders of our country, communities. Continue to pray for all of our children and young adults, okay? That is so pivotal. It's almost like all the kids who are out here doing crazy stuff and getting in trouble for doing crazy stuff because they're trying to get back at the people who are doing crazy stuff to them are all going to end up either dead together or in prison together, or together with the same people who they were trying to get rid of while they were out in the free world. I don't understand what's going on, but we already know there's a demonic situation going on. So we have to pray. We know what it is that we have to do. And so when you know what it is that you're supposed to do and you don't do it, you're in open rebellion to God. Amen. So we must continue to pray for our children and our young adults. Again, pray for one another. And we can't ever forget to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving. Death is a certainty, and someone is always going through that, losing a friend or a loved one. And we always want to make sure to remember to keep them lifted up in prayer. Amen. Happy birthday, again, to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating today. Happy birthday to Mother Irma, who celebrated her birthday on the 4th. Baby Holy Ghost, Pen Pal, she's overall, she got a lot of nicknames. Amen. She celebrated her birthday on the 4th. And Doris Gaither, she will be closing us out this month with her birthday on the 30th. So happy birthday to all of you. Amen. Last but not least is your devotional for today. And I ask the Holy Spirit, because it is Youth Sunday, to really guide me to a devotional that's a little bit more geared toward children and young adults, even though we all can benefit from the information. And so he did just that, as usual. Amen. So your devotional for today is entitled, Stop Following a Culture That Does Not Follow God. Amen. And this is by Pastor Rick Warren. We know he's the head pastor at Saddleback Church. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And that's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. There are two verses in the Bible that are written by the same author, but seem to send opposite messages. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. That's pretty clear. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Okay, we know the rest of that. That looks like a big contradiction right there. The world, quote unquote, okay, is used two ways in these verses. The first verse refers to the world's value system, and the second refers to the world's people. Followers of Jesus are to love people no matter what choices they make. On the other hand, we are to hate the world's value system, including things like status, selfishness, and sexual immorality. The problem is that we often get it reversed. We love the value system and hate the people. Christians do this all the time. Instead of being different, we're often just as materialistic and hedonistic as the culture we live in. But that's backwards from how God calls us to live. For the rest of your life, you'll face great pressure to conform to the culture. This was Israel's biggest problem for thousands of years. They wanted to be like other nations, yet God gave them all kinds of moral, civil, and ceremonial laws to make them different on purpose. God has done the same for you and me. We don't live under Old Testament law, but God has told us exactly how we should live and how to get the wisdom and power to stand out in this world. Again, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Again, that's Romans 12 and 2. One reason you may not know what God wants you to do in this life is because you may be too assimilated to your culture. Often this happens without you realizing it. But you can't think like the world and think like God thinks. You have to make a choice. The problem with following culture is that it's all temporary. You need to follow something that is eternal which is God's word. Fill your mind with God's truth and let it transform your life by changing what you love. So, will you follow Jesus today? The world is pressuring you to devote your life to temporary things, but you were created for something greater, to do things that will have meaning in eternity. Living God's way starts with trusting him for salvation. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life," John 3:16. So will you trust God for forgiveness and eternal life? If so, just pray this simple prayer. "Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I confess I have sinned, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died to take away my sins and that you raised him to life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In Jesus' name I pray." And if you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all of heaven is rejoicing at this very moment. Now allow the word of God to transform your life one day at a time. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. I got the stuff right this time. I pressed all the right buttons. Amen. I'm learning.
Praise God. You've only been working
in
09, right?
So don't hate because I learned faster than everybody.
Amen.
It only took, what, 10 years
Jesus.
To learn two buttons. Praise the Lord. I'm...
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
I wouldn't know what to
Absolutely.
Do, right? You have no idea
I know.
How much I depend on you being there when I get through preaching. I'm like, geez, where she at? Where she at? He said, ask her where she at. I'm like, because I'm through.
Amen. Amen. I got you.
Thank you, Crystal. Tell
Amen.
Me or I say
You're
what's
welcome.
Up.
You're welcome. I sure will. Amen.
All righty, this lady in my ear. Okay. Hey, man, real quick before this lady cuts some people off and others stay home. But anyway, hey, man, to get to Janice and Kat, go to our Christian Resources page, and they got new information over there that will hook you up with Bring Back the Family and Bondage Breakers Ministries. Also, giving thanks to God, my book is finished, Biblical Giving, New Testament Tithing, New Testament Tithes and Offerings, ? So that book will be out probably in February, and I thank God for it. The formatters have it now, and I want to especially thank Ed Johnson for allowing his wife, Rebecca Johnson, to serve as copy editor on this book so that the million faux pas won't exist in it. Amen. And so I thank God for her and for all the work that she did to make this possible. Also, Nicole Seabrooks is going in for a procedure this week. Keep her up in your prayers. And on my Facebook page, Nakia Gaither and Doris Gaither, hey, man, you got to see them. Go to my Facebook page, Pastor Gerald M. Overall, hey, man, on Facebook, and there's a video right there. Just look at the video. They got picked up doing a thing, a documentary on caretakers, and they interviewed them, too. So if you want to see Nakia and Doris, and you just, you know, when as soon as you see Doris, you're going to be like, that sleeps. Amen. She awesome. So go and take a look at that. Amen. And again, I want to impress on you, do your homework for Monday. Make Jesus happy. Let Jesus see you doing your homework so you're prepared for Monday to be involved in the discussion. And don't forget your homework for Wednesday. Since I ended this series here, we're going back to preaching through the New Testament epistles. And so we're going to be preaching next week, Lord willing, and we're still here in this world. We're going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So there's some more homework for you. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to start that series, that 16-part series, 16 chapters, on next week, if the Lord willing. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do the benediction, and then we're going to close, but I want to tell you a little bit about this song. I was sitting here on the computer the other day, and I read an email from Deaconess June Rogers about a song that she had heard, and it's a really unique song, and it'll bless you no matter how old you are, young or old. It will bless you. It's entitled Things I'm Afraid Of. And what I want you to do is listen to it, because when it gets to the end, is going to say something that's going to stick with you. Amen. We are afraid of a lot of things. This song is going to tell us something about the things we're afraid of and who they're afraid of. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you when we see you. Okay. Baby Holy Ghost say you didn't do the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, the whole church said, amen.
There's an enemy living inside of me, like a mocker yelling out, telling lies to me. And I don't feel brave, but I don't have to be, 'cause I walk through the valley of shadows, and it scared me half to death. But you're with me everywhere I go, so I won't give up yet. My fears would surely kill me if I didn't know the truth. The things that shadow.